Hi everyone, Deborah Stewart here. How is everyone holding up? It's hard to keep track of which day it is, right? When I go to the grocery store and I see everyone in their masks and gloves, I feel like I'm in a movie, a weird sci-fi. But this is real life. It is a strange time, that is for sure. And I know a lot of you are really struggling with fear, anxiety, doubts, and uncertainty about the future. But God is with us. Though it looks like the world is falling apart around us, He still holds it all together. He holds all of us together. He can be trusted. Difficult times can bring us closer to Him if we let them. I think it's fair to say that the longer we live, the wider the range of human experience we will encounter. My next guest has experienced it all. She's walked through the loss of loved ones, infertility, adoption, widowhood, remarriage, insecurity, maturity, laughter, tears, and travels in between. Amy Protonentis says, walking the path with Jesus doesn't mean easy, but it does mean good. Amy, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you so much for asking me. I love this idea that you're doing. This is really cool.
Well, I'm so glad that you are willing to come on here and share your story. Isn't it so true? It's like the longer we live life, the more we're going to just experience the range of all of it.
Oh, absolutely. And we're the more we're going to learn if we're reflective. You know, that famous whoever philosopher who said that unexamined life is not worth living. Boy, I love that this, yes. The whole point of this podcast is exactly that, is examining our lives so that yes. Our tomorrows will be worth living.
Amy, I love that you just shared that quote, because that is something that I actually have always said to myself, especially if I've been in a habit of not reflecting or not journaling or processing through something, because then I find I could actually lose the whole point of what that lesson may have been even about. So in keeping with that whole reflective state of mind, I want you to tell me about a time when you had to walk by faith, not by sight.
One time? There's so many things that I have experienced, and I think a lot of your listeners can relate with several aspects of my story. Part of it is being old. Mm-hmm. I have lived a lot of life, but also there are just a lot of things that God has brought me through. The first thing that really was a difficult thing was the loss of my mother when I was 16. She had a heart condition and died suddenly one morning. In November is actually the day before her birthday, her 43rd birthday. I was at school. My dad came, and my sister and I happened to share the same lunch period that day. He came and got us, told us what happened. And it was as though my knees just buckled. Dad held me up. But it was like not just a rug was pulled out from under me, but my entire world was shifted in that one moment. And walking through that, it was the first major test of my fairly new faith. Am I really going to believe what I say I do and what His Word tells me, that He will always be with me, that He will walk that valley of the shadow of death with me? And it was huge. It was a huge challenge.
Wow. How did you get through that time? You know, especially being somebody who was new to faith, what do you feel like was one of the biggest things that got you through that really hard time, especially as a teenager?
I couldn't immediately embrace this thing of God is good, because are you kidding me? My mom just died, you know, suddenly, no warning, no nothing. Right. And what the heck? So there was I wasn't always, oh, God is so good, and la, 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 and all those Sunday school answers that I knew weren't bringing me comfort. What was bringing me comfort were friends who also knew Jesus, who reminded me through their actions as well as their words that He is real and He is walking with me through this.
Right. So, you know, as you said, there's been many seasons, there have been many seasons where you have had to walk by faith, where you have had the rug pulled out from under you. I'd like for you to share with me another time, a time actually when I, you know, I had actually just met you right before kind of this other thing happened to you.
That thing. Yeah. And it's funny as I think about my life, and so often the times that God has met me the deepest are these times of profound loss. Here I was at age 43. We had just adopted these two kids. It all happened in one day in the span of about 3 hours. We became parents to these two little people. And 2 years later, my first husband goes into seizure. We find out he has a brain tumor we didn't know about. And 11 weeks later, he died. I don't even use the term passed away, because to me, that is too soft. That's too gentle. No, he died.
How did God show up in the midst of your pain?
I remember very clearly, we lived across the street from a university campus, and Caroline and Eli, they were 4 and 3 at the time, and we had scooters, had the little Razor scooters. And I was walking through the campus with them. It was at a break, so there weren't any students around. And it was a beautiful sunset. Caroline was racing off on her scooter, as she always did, hair flying behind her, enjoying the feeling of speed and the wind blowing through her hair, and just, you could just see her enjoyment. And Eli kind of scooting along behind her as best he could. And as I'm walking along, I physically felt someone taking my hand, as though I were walking along with them. And I knew it was a combination of my first husband and Jesus himself, just enjoying that moment with me. And it was, tearing up a bit. But it was such a special moment. And I think that's one of the things that God does. He knows our hearts. He knows exactly where we are. And he comes along and he does these things that we know. It's almost like a private joke just between the two of us. You know, and I know that this is what's going on. You know, it's kind of like that with God, that he'll come and do those things to confirm his word that he will never leave us and never forsake us, and that he is walking with us, sometimes literally, sometimes figuratively. And I love that. I love those moments.
Wow. That is, I mean, yeah, talk about intimacy with the Father. I feel like you really experienced, you know, knowing the Father was with you, and also knowing that your first husband, William, was with you as well. Was there anything else that really spoke to you during that time?
A friend of mine from Germany sent me a letter. It got to me maybe a couple weeks after William died. And one of the scripture verses that she sent to me was so awesome. And I just sat with it and I reread. And it's Isaiah 61, and it says, it starts off, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted." And I'm like, yeah, I'm feeling right. Afflicted. But at the same time, I was like, oh, wait a minute. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me too. What I have gone through and what I'm going through right now, he is going to use to encourage other people. And just that sense of, oh my goodness. I mean, I am still in the midst of grief. I am still in the midst of fresh, he's gone. I've got two little kids. We've got to move out of here in 6 weeks. What am I going to do? The stress and the pressure and the unknowns. And, but I just kept reading in this one chapter. It says, "Then they will rebuild the ancient ruins. They will raise up the former devastations. They will repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations." And I'm feeling like, oh, this, you know, my home, he was my home. My home is has been ripped apart. And yet God is, like, I felt God was saying to me, I will rebuild this.
When God speaks to us through his word, and it just, it's almost like I honestly feel like there's no other like soothing balm or like a salve to what we need, because you were, like you said, you were in grief. You felt broken. You were, you really needed to hear from God. And so the fact that he spoke to you and spoke so clearly, and he literally gave you an anchor, you know, to grab onto, to know that, you know what, I'm going to get through this and we're going to be stronger because of this. You know, throughout the Bible, God says that he is the father of the fatherless and protector of the widows, that he upholds them. In what other ways do you feel like community also came around you to support and kind of, you know, just lift you guys up and let you know that, hey, you're not alone and we are in this with you?
Oh gosh, it was incredible. We were rich in community. We were rich in family. And God stepped in to this situation. And I just felt like I was in this lifeboat on a really calm ocean. I felt so supported and so loved. You know, our housing was provided, and I was able to get a job. And yet it was a flexible job, so I didn't have to be away, and I had friends that would volunteer to babysit or, you know, take the kids to do stuff or whatever. So it was just like, I just was so completely surrounded. It was just amazing. It was really amazing.
You know, tell me, how do you feel like God has, you know, where did his redemption come in your story? Obviously you ended up getting remarried. So, you know, if you could just tell me a little bit about how you literally moved from this one season to another season.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I mean, I just feel like my life is just these tectonic shifts all the time. You know, it's not like one nice, gentle, smooth transition to another. No, I get kids when I'm 43 in a day. And then I, you know, my husband dies. Just a few months after William died, the kids started asking for a new dad. And I'm like, wow, I'm not ready. But I said, right, but you can pray. So why don't you ask Jesus? So they had their little prayer mantra of, you know, dear Jesus, please give us a new daddy. I'm like, right, oh, right. Okay. A couple years after he died, I was coming to a college reunion. And what was really freaky is it was my 25th college reunion. And I'm like, wait, I've got a 4 and a 5 year old. How can I be 25 years out of college? But I had reconnected with an old friend, and because of this reunion, we were getting together. And it turned out that his wife had passed away 8 months after my husband did. And wow. It was just one of those, wow, you too, you know? So we started talking more and communicating back and forth on Messenger. And we just felt, okay, God must be putting us together. So we got married and I moved the kids here to our home in North Carolina. And it's just, you know, so it was like God redeemed all of that to us. It's been, you know, it's still a roller coaster ride. You've got kids in grief. I have 4 stepchildren in this marriage, and I have 4 stepchildren from my first marriage. So I've got 10 kids, never been pregnant. So it's kind of crazy story.
Well, and even just thinking about how, you know, how much, you know, pain and suffering in general, whether it's, you know, obviously your stepchildren have gone through the pain and suffering and loss of their mother, and then the pain and suffering that your second husband went through with losing his wife, and all of that pain and suffering, it makes us more human, compassionate, empathetic to those who are in need. And when we come out of trials, we're stronger and we're more able to encourage others in their faith because we have experienced God's faithfulness. So how have you been able to use your journey and story to help others? Because I know you had said, you know, God had told you in his word, I am going to use this for you to help others in need. How do you feel like God has allowed you to really touch the lives of others?
It's funny. We often use the phrase, time heals all wounds. No, it doesn't. What heals is introspection and working through the emotions and, you know, getting help when we need to get help. Yes, it can make you more empathetic if you let it. So it's really important that when we go through these times, that we are not letting our hearts get hardened. Because when we do let our hearts get hardened, we're not learning the lessons. We're not going to be that person that can be a comfort. We're going to be that crotchety old woman who just lives in bitterness. So when we can keep our hearts tender, when we can allow the questions to come, when we can scream out in our anger and then allow, then listen for the answer, that's when we grow. That's when we can turn and be a comfort to others. That's when we can listen more empathetically and be a support and an encouragement. And just sometimes it's just being a listening ear. I was on a walk this morning with my neighbor who is going through a divorce she did not want. And the rejection of a husband who has cheated on her and doesn't want to be married to her anymore, and trying to help her adult children navigate this time too, and their feelings and all of that. And we're walking along and she just said, you know, sometimes I just have doubts that he's real, that God is real. Is he more of like just this power, just this thing that gives you power inside? Is it just this force inside of you? And I was able to talk with her and walk with her and listen to her grieving and start bringing some answers. And no, actually, he's a real thing. God created us as his masterpiece. And not only did he create us as his masterpiece, he knew beforehand what he was going to do with us. And he's got works prepared in advance for us to do. So we're thought about, we were planned for. You know, we talk about oops babies. There are no oops babies. God has planned every single life. And so being able to talk with her and walk with her and just say, no, he's real and he does live inside of us. He is spirit, so we don't always see him. We see his handiwork. But yes, he can live inside of us and give us that peace and that power to walk through these hard times.
That's amazing. It's amazing. And even just thinking about this time, this period of life that we're all in with these restrictions and staying at home and being isolated, and you know, people are really struggling and people are really looking for something to grab onto that, hey, things are going to be okay. We're going to get through this. What would you say to somebody, you know, what do you want to share with those that are, you know, really struggling in this period of uncertainty and not knowing what tomorrow is going to bring?
I think we could live in that no matter what's happening in the world. So I know people, whether there is a pandemic happening or not, they live in that fear of what could happen. It's anxiety about the future. And I know other people who are still trapped in their past and they feel constrained. They feel buckled in, like they can't get rid of their past. And so what I encourage people to do is to focus on what is good. You know, again, going back to God's word, he tells us to think about these things that are good and acceptable and perfect and beautiful and that are praiseworthy. And so what I keep encouraging people to do is not to get wrapped up in the fear, not to get wrapped up in the anxiety about the future. It takes just as much energy to focus on positive outcomes. What good is coming out of this? Encouraging them to go to God's word, even if you have never read it before, just plop it open.
Right.
Most likely it's going to open in the Psalms, because the Psalms is right smack in the middle of the Bible. If you have a whole Bible.
Right.
And looking at the Psalms and just seeing how these people who are writing these songs, they're going through it. They're going through it where they're, you know, in fear for their lives, or, you know, whatever is going on, they're in difficult circumstances, and yet they cry out to God and he answers them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Girl, amen. You are just, you're on fire. I just
preach it.
Seriously. That was fire right there. I just thank you so much for just sharing all that you did. I was so blessed by it. And I just feel like you gave me a lot of things to even think about and ponder, and even to just go back and notate, even just in encouraging myself during this time of, you know, kind of a weird life we're all living in, you know? And yeah, I just, you know, thank you so much, Amy, just for, you know, sharing it all with us. And I know that somebody out there who's listening is more than somebody is, you know, going to get blessed by this. And so thank you, my friend.
Absolutely. Well, and I want to encourage you in what you're doing, because this is exactly the kind of message that we need to hear right now. All of these people that you're interviewing, and your own personal story of, no matter what it looks like, we do. That's the thing about faith. We have to walk without sight. And yet we can be people who walk with vision.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So I just appreciate that you're doing this podcast. I think it's awesome.
Oh, thanks. Sharing our stories is such a great way for us to connect and encourage one another, especially during this time. If you have a story you'd like to share, I'd love to hear from you. Reach out to me at notbysightpodcast@gmail.com. And also be sure to subscribe to Not By Sight on iTunes. Take care, you guys.